Welcome to Rooted Agritourism. I'm Dr. Liz Fidler-Mergen, owner of Sunny Mary Meadow, a U-Pick flower farm, wedding florist, and event venue in central Minnesota. Our mission is to serve anyone rooted in agritourism, value-added agriculture, and rural entrepreneurship. The people turning ideas and raw products into thriving businesses and experiences. Let's dig in. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Rooted Agritourism. I'm your host, Dr. Liz Fidler-Mergen, and today I have got Peter Giltzer with me, Milk and Honey Ciders.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So if you are new to the podcast, go back to September 30th, 2025. And that was, we're actually recording these two episodes back to back, but I really wanted to kind of spread them out to very different topics. Last episode, we talked about growing apples, making cider, sourcing apples, kind of how the growth of the business came, how you decided what things to focus on, and really the production side of it. And then today's episode, I really want to touch base on the agritourism, the experience, the actual farm location that you guys have. So, and it, we were chatting for like an hour in the last episode. So we're like, okay, we got to cut this off. People, I mean, I think they like talking to us, but they're not going to listen to us for 2 hours straight.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So Peter, do you want to reintroduce yourself? Remember, this is a couple months from the other one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Peter, I'm one third of Milk and Honey Ciders, and we are a orchard, tasting room, apple processor, event center, experience outside of St. Joseph, Minnesota.
Yeah. So in our last episode, we really talked about growing the apples, making the cider, that type of thing. We got into the economics a little bit of, you know, what the cost is to plant these trees, you know, what you could get from whether it's a farm stand or a cider. But I think that's the message I really want to hit on here is considering it a value added product when it's paired with an experience, because very similarly, there's the analogy, you know, what's a water worth? Bottle of water from a grocery store in a 24 pack,
yeah.
A bottle of water at a gym, a bottle of water at an airport, you know, people are going to pay a different price for it. And
yeah.
So a glass of cider, when they're drinking it in a tap room with friends where it's made, that's where you're going to get the most value from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was thinking about that the other day. It's like, yeah, we're selling cider. Ultimately, we're selling a beverage, a glass of cider. That's how we keep the lights on. But I mean, really, you're kind of selling like an experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're out overlooking the orchard, sipping cider, it's probably a campfire going. You just got maybe a tour of the facility. Maybe there's another event there going on. We have some theater, comedy, music, whatever. And you're just like overlooking this beautiful valley in like rural Stearns County. I mean, that's kind of what you're paying for. You're getting the experience. You know, your ticket was the glass of cider, but it's more the whole experience every day there.
Let's kind of go back to what your plan was when this all started, you know, the tap room. And did you have any idea it was going to turn into what it has?
No, we didn't. We just were like tinkering in our garage, like a lot of businesses start or ventures start. And we were initially, we were just a wholesaler.
Mm-hmm.
So we were just selling to other restaurants and bars. And we were a processing facility. So we were grinding apples and fermenting it and bottling it. And then we were like, okay, this is going all right, but I think people want to see this, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we moved off of the land that we were living at there and moved over to our current location. And it's just, you know, there's a parking lot so people can come visit us.
Yep.
You know, it's near a freeway. It's near a town. It's near a university, you know, so that there's traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And that is... It used to be 0% of our business, but that's about half of our revenue now is our on-site experience now. And so it's been great. And it's a very profitable portion of our revenue.
Yep, because they're buying the glass and then...
You're capturing the full value. Mm-hmm. You're also doing all the work
yep.
and all the inputs required of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the margins are good because you're from the apple on the tree to the glass.
Yep.
You're capturing the whole value.
Yep. So... Started out kind of the tap room, tasting room, you know, what was kind of your vision there and how did it go from there? What were the first things you added or when did you realize, hey, people really want to come here?
Yeah, our first, we just really focused on that, just the sampling room and just that. Come in, there's a bar, there's a nice patio, a very small room. I think it's, gosh, 800 square feet, our sampling room. And we're like, yeah, and and that's enough. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then you see what your customers want, and hey, we'd like to do an event here, or can we rent this space out? You know what I mean? We are all fans of music, so we would have little. We had a little plywood stage mm-hmm. on the patio.
Yep.
Some people would come out there.
And you like, used to have a playset. I remember that.
Yeah, we used to have a playset.
That was gone now.
Oh, thank God. I don't know if our insurance. The kids would go on, and the whole thing would just sway, and it's like, okay,
yeah,
someone's gonna get hurt.
I remember being there. Oh, so my daughter is starting second grade, and I remember going there after the Earth Day half marathon. For an Easter egg hunt. Do you remember that year?
Oh, God. And people were like, was, stuck in the mud. It was insane.
Were you expecting? Like, yeah. You guys had been open for how long?
I mean, less than a year.
Less than a year at that point. And so I ran a half marathon with one of my best friends who loves milk and honey.
Yeah.
Shout out. You know, Tammy's going to listen to this. So, Tammy, hey. But so we went there with Tammy, and my daughter was like, 18 months yeah. old, something like that. And we're like, oh, we're just going to do this nice little Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
And from there on, you had to make appointments going forward.
Yeah.
Like, you have to reserve your spot for the Easter egg hunt. Like, it was, I mean, podcast producer Abby is standing there looking at me because she doesn't have kids and she doesn't want them. But, like, it was insane. And just realizing that people are craving something like that to do.
And
it's so cool, but I mean, what did you think was going to show up? 50 people?
Yeah. And
I mean, there were hundreds.
Down the driveway, like, on the county. I mean, it was just like, and there was so many, that was one of two dozen experiences like that where like,
what are we
don't have
do?
Enough parking, we don't have enough bathrooms, we don't have enough infrastructure, and like, you know, you're at first you're just trying to get people in the door.
Yep.
And then you're like, oh my gosh, this is so much.
Uh-huh.
And we're all, I mean, thank God, I think we're scrappy and we adapted, but thank God the customers, I mean, maybe we lost some along the way, but thank God that they gave us a second chance.
Yeah.
Of like, okay, now we're going to do this better. We're going to like, you know, for a little Easter egg hunt, we're going to schedule different times and we're going to limit it so everyone has a good experience. I mean, that one that you were at, like, someone was down, stuck in the mud, and we didn't have enough candy or eggs.
Yeah.
And we were just, like, they were swarming us. We were just, like, throwing candy.
No, I remember it.
So that they would get away. And then, you know, those kids crying because the older kids would come in.
I don't think we're doing a good enough job explaining. I'm, like, almost crying laughing because, yeah, my 18-month-old was, like, I mean, I remember, so my husband passed away in 2020, so he was there and with our 18-month-old, and I remember looking at him, and I was sore from running the half marathon, and I'm like, just get some eggs, and he's like, knocking, like, he just got one egg to, like, give to our daughter, because I was like, sorry that you're crying, but I'm not dealing with my kid crying, so, like, we got one egg, one egg.
I mean, and there's just so many funny stories like that, where you just have to...
Yeah.
Laugh.
And so then that's when you realize that, okay, wow, we majorly underestimated how many people are gonna want this and experience
it's
this.
So funny too, you find these little genres, you're like, ah, oh, this isn't gonna work, you know,
like
beanbag tournaments aren't gonna work, and all of a sudden it's a thing, or like the thing
trivia
that's another, that's just
trivia at Milk County on Thursday nights in the summertime is...
We had these great neighbors who say, hey, it was Gary and Kate Bechtel who started it.
He was on Jeopardy.
Our local Jeopardy
champion.
He's like, I really like trivia. I want to do trivia. And all of a sudden, he's got 300 people coming every Thursday.
Yeah.
Like, literally. And we're just out of room and out of whatever. And we're still doing it to this day. And it's just like, trivia. Like, I'm not a trivia person. I mean, I enjoy it. But there's, like, people who are just obsessed with it.
You know? And they're buying a cider while they're there.
Yeah. So you're just kind of figuring out what the little genres are. And they're all different people. There's not a lot of crossover. The Easter egg people aren't the trivia people, aren't the music people, aren't the...
Mm-hmm. Yep. Coming to the tap room. And especially the music series that you do in the summer. So you added that. So then you ended up building a band shell.
Yeah.
And then... The pavilion out back. When was that added on?
That was added on both
after the Easter egg hunt.
No more Easter. Well, we still do Easter.
You still do it, but not.
But yeah, we were just on the patio. We put a little plywood stage up, like just recycled lumber and stuff, put a little tent on it,
Yep.
and we'd all of a sudden have like 200-300 people come, and they loved it, and they'd pack, and we were just like bursting at the seams. We were trying to get everyone beverages and bathrooms and water and all of them. Like, oh man, there's a there. We wanted a space. Our space is very outdoor oriented there. People want to come out in the summer, in the fall. So we built a pavilion and then a band shell on the north end of the property. And that's been great. It's a flex space.
Because you can have trivia there. You can have someone wants to host a wedding there. You can have the music series there. I did a pumpkin carving a couple years ago there.
Exactly. Spread people out, give them another thing to do. We still have our original core product, at least in the from the sampling room sizes. Come in, get a glass, peer over into the production room and see them making your cider, sit by a campfire overlooking the orchard. Like that whole vibe is still there, you know, and I like that. But then there's just enhancements, you know.
So do you, I mean, in the fall, do you open up for tours or do much for education? I was there this winter. I went to the University of Minnesota Extension put on a agritourism business plan day, like educational. It was, well, it wasn't free. We paid for it as taxpayers, but you know, it's something that they've offered to the area surrounding counties. And so I was there for that. And so we did a little mini tour and then just used it as a classroom. And it was on a Monday, which is amazing that you can have that opportunity to, hey, we're closed on Monday, so we can open up the tap room for those types of things.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're always doing stuff like that. We'll do like grafting clinics. We did pruning clinics with U of M and with a local folk school. But we just try all sorts of different things. We have a lot of corporate or nonprofits come in and do their events, fundraisers, appreciation days, or retirement parties and stuff like that. So we can do that. In the winter, we're, you know, our wholesale business, we really lean on that just because it's quieter. We're out in the country. It's like 3 miles out of town. So like people don't want to come out in the winter for obvious reasons. But yeah, just keep trying new things. We can't really pigeonhole us in terms of the events we do or our politics or anything like that. We're just really like open and try to be good community members, you know, just everyone comes out and has a good time. So
So when you're planning, you know, so if someone is listening to this that, you know, obviously, we're at agritourism. If this is, I mean, this is definitely a very agritourism focused episode with the value added. And last time we talked more about production and specialty crops, but how do you even sit down and begin to figure out your master calendar for the year? Like, do you plan the music series? Do you plan the weddings that are already booked? Do you plan, you know, trivias on Thursdays? Or how do you even begin to do that? Because it, unfortunately, I mean, not unfortunately, fortunately, you know, you can kind of count on, all right, trivia usually brings in this and the music series brings in this. Or how do you even, how do you do that? Who is that you? Who does that master calendar?
And it's a little art, you know, art and science, you know. And I've been kind of looking at some kind of more professional scheduling so you can actually book things, make a reservation for the space more automatic. But yeah, it's a right now it's really tactical. You either call, email, or fill out our form online, and I'm getting back to you. And we're finding, you know, because we have like six, seven different options. You can be in the band shell, the pavilion, outside under the tents, inside. You know, you can be in the tap room, rent that out. So we're just trying to kind of figure it out. And there's obviously the ones that I think are more profitable or that we're better at that I try to prioritize. And then if someone calls in with a little bit, like, oh, I don't know how, maybe we can fit them somewhere on an off day, you know. But I rarely say no, and I think that's been good. We'll try anything. We had a group that called recently. They want to come roller skating in the pavilion. It's a big open space, and I'm thinking I'm gonna say no to that. I haven't.
I gotta talk to my insurance
I
agent.
mean,
It's the liability
yeah, I'm
there.
like, you're
Like,
gonna roll.
there's other places to
Sounds
do
fun.
that. It sounds fun.
But that might be the
But,
only time I've said
well,
no.
here's the thing. I guess this is what I would look at as a business owner. Are they going to be drinking? Like, that's your whole
And you're on
product.
wheels and you're going
And you
fast.
have a lot of NA ciders. You have a lot of NA options. Sounds like a bad idea from a business standpoint.
I've said plenty of, yeah. Easter eggs, you know. We had an event this spring when they had llamas.
Yeah.
They brought llamas in and
yeah.
that were all dressed up. And
ah.
and it's like, I rarely say no.
Yeah.
You know, as long as it's like safe and respectful.
Yeah.
We'll try it. Well, why not?
Yeah.
And I think that's yeah. kind of the unique thing. Like,
yeah.
no one else is going to do that.
Yeah, I don't think I would let people bring llamas to my... Well, mate, I don't know. But you don't live on the property.
That's true.
So yeah. you don't... I live on my property. So the farmer farm is like, I'm a little more...
That's smart.
What I'm doing now is I'm not letting anyone just book anything online. I have it hourly. And then... You know, you have to fill out the form, give your first option, you know, what do you want to do? Because I'm really hoping for showers. But for me, my biggest thing is going to be if I'm doing the wedding flowers, how about you have your shower or you could book your rehearsal dinner here or you could
That'd
book
cool.
your,
rehearsal
you know.
Dinner.
So rehearsal dinners, I think, is what I'm really trying to lean into because a lot of venues don't want to rent out for a rehearsal dinner in case they can get a wedding.
Absolutely.
So then it just makes sense. I've had a ton of inquiries the last couple of weeks.
Smart.
Well, partially because a local newspaper wrote that I'm a wedding venue and that that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, because they wrote three articles and didn't call me and confirm anything.
Perfect.
So that's great. So that's
lovely.
Lovely misinformation out there. But so people think I'm a wedding venue. And so they're like, we're looking at a 2027 date. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Where's the wedding?
Yeah.
Thinking that they're asking about flowers.
Yeah.
They're like, no. We want to have the wedding there. I'm like, no. Like it just with how we're set up. And I will never say completely never, but I can say honestly that that's not my plan. Like I'm not going to say never because that's, I had no idea it was going to play in here, but, you know, trying to figure out, I want things that people buy flowers for.
Yeah.
You still want things that people are buying cider. Like that's a reach, right? The roller skating, like at least buy a glass of cider.
You got to figure out, there's obviously the financial decision, which is very important, but then also your lifestyle, what do you want to do with your time? Mm-hmm. And then the fact that you're there, your family's there. It's like, who do you want invite to this place, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and granted, we've always had like, I mean, knock on wood in our, how long have we been out at that site? 8 years. I've had very few problems. No one where anyone was out of line, violent, you know, whatever, nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that's by design too. We're kind of picking and choosing that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're vetting clients. We're picking events that are more family oriented, daytime.
Yeah.
We close at 9 p.m. When, you know, we have a private event, we can stay up till 10 p.m. Sometimes, like, I think 12 times a year, my permit, I can be open till midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely do people stay to midnight. So we're kind of getting...
And you keep that for maybe weddings or those types of things.
Exactly. Like, where we can serve an extra 2 hours. But honestly, I mean, I think by design, we kind of get the best of the best foot forward with people because of that.
Yeah.
Because we have kids around, because we allow pets. Yep. I mean, I think my kids are around a lot. And I think that really just says, hey, this is not like a free for all party. This
Correct.
Is like a community place.
This is a stop on the bachelorette bus. This
yeah.
is a stop on the, you know, it's not the end of the night.
And there are businesses that specialize in
yeah,
that. And
exactly.
they can do that. It's just, I don't want that energy, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So how do you reach your customers? I mean, is it social media mainly? Is it, do you have an email list? How did you build that customer base? That's something that we didn't talk about in the last episode.
Oh yeah. I think our first way to reach customers was we would go get all the tap lines at like the IT restaurants and whatnot.
Yeah.
Mostly in the Twin Cities metro area, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Yep. Like a takeover or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Well, we would just try to get a line there.
Mm-hmm.
At the best restaurants.
Yep.
That was our initial thing.
Yep.
We did a little bit on social media,
okay.
but mostly supporting that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was our thing. Since then, we've obviously, now we have our sampling room, which is basically a big billboard.
Mm-hmm.
It's also too,
mm-hmm.
to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've hired a firm recently to help us with email marketing,
mm-hmm.
social media, mm-hmm. paid social.
Yep.
Billboards, flyers. I mean, we've did the old-fashioned way of like handing out flyers mm-hmm. after concerts and stuff like that. Just anything.
And I do think that it's so oversaturated, phones, like just in social media and like trying to, you know, targeted. And yeah, absolutely. Like an old-fashioned flyer or, you know, and that's something that I totally, this is, you know, the conversation that next year when, or even hopefully, you know, I've got a ton of greenery ordered for porch pots and centerpieces and stuff like that, as long as my building opens on time for November and December. And it's, you know, hey, how about a drink coupon or something, you know, or something, some sort of incentive to like get them to go elsewhere, or just pairing up with local businesses. And I think that that's, you know, especially, do you find a lot of the clientele that are getting married at your venue are just regulars there or live in the area, or what are they looking there?
Mostly been organic, just word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't go to any kind of wedding conferences, or we don't advertise wedding at all. We have a sub page on our website, but it's mostly word of mouth.
Yep.
And even, you know, there's other websites like The Knot that drive customers. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I don't know. It just hasn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, because you have the flexibility of having other events there during that time.
Yeah.
So it's not, if it's the right fit, if it's the right size, if it's the right.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely. And that's not, you know, some of the events, you know, I enjoy some events more than others, but finances drive our interest in weddings. But honestly, we're just not pushing it really hard, and we're getting really good clients.
Mm-hmm.
And if.
Mm-hmm. I think I did 2 or 3 weddings out there this year.
So trying to diversify, and things always come and go. Like this week, we kind of shut down the pavilion because we're doing some community theater.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 3 shows.
Yep.
And it's like, we've never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
But what if trivia drops off? What if country weddings drop off? What if music drops off?
Yep.
So we're just trying to diversify. We're going to try and we'll get theater people to come, and maybe they've never been here. That's a whole genre of people. So we're doing 3 nights of like community theater outside on the band shell.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a couple hundred people every show.
Well,
it'll be interesting.
And I think that one thing that I feel like gets really misconstrued about agritourism in general is that's not necessarily the moneymaker or the profit revenue, you know, everything, but it's the funnel. How do you reach these audiences of people? How do you find them? I mean, I'm trying to decide, you know, I would love to add some brunches, or, you know, a themed brunch, or a farm to table dinner, or, you know, something, and then really decorate it and showcase it with flowers, you know, so that people can, oh, do you do weddings? Do you do this? Yep. You know, and just trying to figure out, you know, sometimes you just have to get a little scrappy and creative and see what works, and
see what works,
you know,
it's
experimental.
And
if
you can come into a mindset where you're gonna, I'm gonna try to say yes to a lot of these within within limitations, you're gonna find that I didn't know people were into XYZ,
mm-hmm.
and they're coming and they're driving revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna be pleasantly surprised, and it works with my business model and my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. And the only way you're going to do it is by trying that and saying yes. And like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we sort of talked about, you know, revenue streams, what's worked, what's flopped. Anything to add there? Anything that you won't do again?
That we won't do again. Oh, man. I mean, unplanned, you know, Easter egg hunts.
Easter egg
just
hunts
like
of
on the fly.
I mean, were there 500 people there?
I
think so.
That's
like
okay. Here's the thing that I won't do anymore. I won't just be wide open. I won't be I won't be surprised on the high end.
Yes.
That I'm never gonna exceed my infrastructure, meaning my parking lots.
Yes.
My restroom facilities.
Yes.
The amount of staff. Mm-hmm. The amount of food I have. You know, because that there's no way to really piss someone off is, you know, by giving them a bad experience where they can't go to the bathroom, they're waiting in the lines the whole time.
Yep.
So I that's the one thing. I just make sure that the event that we're going to host is right size for the infrastructure I have.
Yep.
You know, but within that genre, we'll try anything once.
We'll try anything once. Okay, so what would you say is your favorite? Actually, we didn't do this last time. I forgot to ask you the rapid fire questions, but that's okay. What is one thing that people always get wrong about your industry?
Man, that's a great question. I think understand what cider is and what it isn't.
Yeah.
It's not sweet. It's not beer.
Yeah.
It pairs well with food. Everyone can find a cider that they like. It's not pretentious, but it is like sophisticated. I think that's what they get wrong. They undermine it. Oh, it's only for women. It's like, cider's split. Half men, half women drink it.
Yeah.
Wine drinkers can find one they like. Your boat crew, which wants just something light and easy, can find something.
All right. What is your favorite farm task?
My favorite farm task? I think mowing.
Mowing. That's awesome. That's awesome. Actually, I was talking to my husband and we were saying, you know, I'm like, well, what do you want to do? As we're trying to figure out, do we add this? Do we do this? Or, you know, like what sector or what would he want to do? And he's like, I just want to mow lawn at golf courses. I'm like, what? Yeah. He has this degree in accounting. And he's like, that's my dream someday. I'm like, well, go chase your dream. He's like, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm like, if that's your dream, who am I to stop you? And he's like, that would be amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah. Like that's his.
It's loud. You can't be on your phone. No one can bother you. And then it's so satisfying. You look back and you're like, oh, I did all that.
Yeah.
And you're just, it's not hard work.
Yeah.
You're kind of sitting there.
Well, so actually, little fact, we have a lawn care company that she has a subscription and I've done some of their daughter's wedding flowers.
Yeah.
And so they've been taking care of our lawn care in the summertime. And that just like kills my husband because he's I want to be mowing. I'm like, no, you need to do this. You need you don't get to do that. You have to
outsource the fun jobs.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm outsourcing the lawn mowing right now this summer. And he's just like, I'm like, next year you can mow the lawn.
Yeah.
But all right. What's your least favorite farm task?
Farm task, yeah. I would say
Or you could say business in general. You could say business in general because the farm is a business, so it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Oh, yeah. Well, a farm task would be probably like tying, like that's, you have to tie our trees to like the
trellising.
And you take these little things and you're just tying knots. And it's just like, we have 6,000 trees. Yeah. And then, you know, what's really hard too is at the end of a big event or something like that, just like cleaning up.
Yeah.
It's usually dark.
Yeah.
And late at night.
Yeah.
And you're just like.
Yeah. But you know you don't want to do it the next day.
You want to get it to a certain level of cleanliness. Yeah, maybe you can finish the details in the morning.
But you gotta
I just moved 300 chairs. This is the fourth time I've touched these chairs. You know, I set them up here. I took them and moved them over here. And now I'm putting them away.
It's
I have to move 300 chairs.
And then maybe they have to get cleaned and maybe they're sticky and all of a sudden.
It's not very glamorous. Yeah. A lot of what we do on a day-to-day, but you know. Yeah. That's all right.
What is a book or podcast that's helped you?
Oh, I used to listen religiously to How I Built This.
Oh, yeah.
That was with Guy Raz, maybe?
Yeah.
Is that it? And then he just talks to founders.
Yep.
And that really helped me about, like, it's cool. It's not about, it's about the building process.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about, you know, the maintaining process.
Yep.
You know, it's usually about these entrepreneurs and just hustles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so entertaining.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's 10 o'clock and I've been working for 6 hours so far today. I don't even know.
Yeah,
like it's,
exactly.
And that's the season I'm in right now. And
that's the season.
Yeah, I have two amazing, well, three. Sydney does a lot of the floral design, but then Brittany and Lydia are both teachers.
Yeah.
And they went back to work this week.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll still hop on the weekends and, you know, but like, so I had to make bouquets quick before I came here this morning. And it's just like, what am I?
Teachers, educators are really good.
Yes.
Because they're available when those 3 months you need them. But then, you do lose them right when it gets crazy.
Yep, exactly.
But they're always fun to work with.
Yes, so very appreciative of them. And then, once again, where can people find you? Where can they follow along?
Oh, yeah. We're all things Milk and Honey.
Milkandhoney.com.
The Facebook Instagram. Social media, Instagram, whatever else they're doing now. Yep. Yeah.
Or just head up the interstate from...
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, we're about an hour from Twin Cities Metro. We're 20 minutes outside of St. Cloud, 4 minutes outside of St. Joe.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And anything else we didn't cover? I don't think so.
I think we got it all.
I think we got it all. All right. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of Rooted Agritourism. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Rooted Agritourism. If you enjoyed it, please leave a 5-star review and share it with someone who would find it helpful or inspiring. Your support helps us reach more rural entrepreneurs, dreamers, and doers just like you. You can explore all of our resources at sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com, where you'll find each episode in blog form, along with free resources to help grow your business. You'll also find info on upcoming on-farm and virtual workshops, classes, and courses. Be sure to check out our monthly membership, Foundations of Peddling Perishable Products, where you'll get access to a full library of our original course content, plus ongoing support through monthly virtual meetups with others in the industry. Just click the link in the show notes or our bio to learn more. We'd love to have you join us. Until next time, keep growing with purpose and stay rooted.